Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. I want to thank you for listening to this podcast from Connecting Faith. There are many more podcasts available at our website, myfaithradio.com. And your support makes this possible.
Real conversations about how we live out our faith every day. Welcome to Connecting Faith.
The founder of Marketplace Chaplains once described their service like a pickup truck. Said, you might not think you want one. However, there will come a time when you need one. I do need a pickup truck, but that's a another show for another day. I'm Neil Stavem. This is Connecting Faith. Ted Ross controls, Carissa Rogers at the phones. And today we're going to talk about a unique outreach to men and women at work, a ministry called Marketplace Chaplains. And, Ted, this statistic has surprised me. 70% of the U.S. workforce is said to have no connection to a caring church.
Wow. That's pretty high.
Yeah, it isn't. We're going to meet the CEO of this ministry at work today on Connecting Faith. And I know it's going to be a great conversation. Looking forward to that, talking about, you know, living out our faith at work and being an encouragement to those in the workplace. But first, our thoughts and prayers for families of slain police officers in Des Moines. Obviously, police work has become much more dangerous work, and they face perils every day. And these two officers, Des Moines Police Sergeant Tony Bimino and Urbandale Police Officer Justin Martin, both found shot in their cars a couple miles apart early this morning.
Not the same incident, then.
They do have a suspect in custody in that shooting. So just remember the families of Sergeant Bimino and Police Officer Martin today. Be good to be praying for them. What else going on? We're going to talk elections here in about a half an hour. Leith Anderson makes his regular every other Wednesday stop and visit. And so we're going to talk today about the presidential race and about voting. And columnist Charles Krauthammer described our presidential contest as a race to the bottom with the one finishing second winning. Yeah, I don't know. So we'll talk a little bit about politics and also about casting our vote with Leith Anderson. It's coming up here in about a half an hour. But, instead of talking about a race to the bottom, how about the World Series, game seven tonight, huh?
Yeah, winner take all tonight in Cleveland. Chicago's all abuzz about it. I got friends that live there on Facebook. That's all they're posting today is Cubbies.
Well, it's one of the longest droughts in championships. It gets all decided tonight. And, it's too bad that one of them has to lose, I guess. That's sort of the modern way of looking at it because they both certainly are deserving. And, by the way, if your sport is hunting, we mentioned yesterday we got something special for you and your spouse. Phil and Al Robertson from Duck Dynasty have produced the Duck Commander Faith and Family Bible. And we've got six copies to give away, three with the green leather cover and three the camouflage pink cover. So, depending on which one you want, I guess you can. Yes, we're going to do the drawing this weekend for the winners. So you can go to the Connecting Faith show page to sign up. But when you go to the Connecting Faith show page at myfaithradio.com, make sure you go to the banner on the right side of the page as opposed to just emailing us, which several people did yesterday. But if you go, you can fill out the full contact information then, and we'll do the drawing coming up here at the end of the week.
MyFaithRadio.com, under Programs Connecting Faith, you'll see it. It'll come up right there.
Yeah, you can sign up for the Duck Commander Faith and Family Bible. And, by the way, if you're in a duck blind or on a tree stand, you can still listen to Faith Radio via the app.
That's right. Just take us with you anywhere you go via your mobile device. Search for Faith Radio Network, iTunes, or Google Play.
Just know that the hunters next to you will not appreciate you listening to Faith Radio.
Yeah, an earbud, maybe.
Sure. Okay. We don't provide the earbuds, but we do have the app. So check it out, Faith Radio Network. You can get the app and listen to us wherever you go. All right. So coming up in a minute, we're going to talk Marketplace Chaplains. First, though, have you noticed there's an increase in the sense of meaninglessness in life today? John Stone Street is going to address one evidence of that on The Point.
Nihilism will eat your heart and your brain. For the Colson Center for Christian Worldview, I'm John Stone Street with The Point. With the decaying corpse of cable drama still shambling around, it is only a matter of time before the genre's antics came back to bite showrunners. One thing is for sure, neither fans nor critics appreciated the season 7 premiere of AMC's The Walking Dead. If you're wondering how a show about a post-apocalyptic world filled with zombies could get any more gruesome, you probably don't want to watch this particular episode. I didn't, but reviews called it torture porn and sickening. Many viewers on Twitter are saying they've had enough. But it's more than just blood and gore. As my colleague Roberta Rivera explains in a recent column at Breakpoint.org, the show reeks of nihilism, the philosophy that ultimately there's no point to life. The Walking Dead joins other cable shows that push the envelope on graphic violence and nudity just for shock value and ratings. But maybe the appetite for meaninglessness isn't insatiable after all. With today's point, I'm John Stone Street.
I'm guessing that along the way you've run into people who look at life as sort of meaningless, and oftentimes maybe you have those conversations on the job. But Ted, I was thinking a former neighbor in a community we used to live who pretty much worked for the weekend because that was when they could start drinking.
Oh,
and
wow.
And you think, well, that's sadly kind of the way many people live today, and work is just sort of a means to get to the weekend.
Yeah, so much more to life.
We're going to talk today about a unique ministry that is making a difference on the job. Their work is caring, and their care is working, as we find out today as we meet Dr. Doug Fagerstrom. Doug was recently appointed Executive President and CEO of Marketplace Chaplains. It's the original and leading workplace chaplaincy organization, and Fagerstrom oversees nearly 3,000 chaplains serving over 600,000 employees and family members in 3,500 client companies located in over 1,000 cities and 54 states and Canadian provinces, along with several international countries and commonwealths. We're going to find out more about it. Previously, he was a senior vice president of Converge Worldwide, and before that, president of Grand Rapids Theological Seminary, and he's been a pastor in Minnesota and Colorado and Michigan. And we're honored to have him with us today. He's written some 14 books. Doug, welcome to Connecting Faith. Good to talk with you today.
Thank you, Neil. It's a delight.
We want to find out about Marketplace Chaplains, a unique ministry, and I'll let you kind of define it, describe it to us a little bit. But I guess I'm curious, are companies open to this idea of a chaplain and in the first place, and do they pay for a chaplain on staff?
Well, first of all, a company owner will most often hear about us through a colleague in business who's a company owner who already has marketplace chaplains serving in their company. And when they hear about the transformation of life, when they hear about their ROIs going up, better production, better retention of employees, better health among employees, they understand that, a good, healthy employee, a good, healthy work environment is going to increase our production, and therefore our bottom line as a business. And so they begin to learn that we can offer a service to a company where HR often stops. And while a company can help maybe with health and wellness and maybe some of the physical aspects of life and even some emotional care at times, we come along and help with the deep inner needs that employees are struggling with every single day. I heard you comment a little bit earlier that astounding percentage of people in the workplace, 70%, not only don't have a church, they really don't have anybody to talk to. Reminds me of the man in John 5 that Jesus visited at the pool of Bethsaida. And Jesus said, do you want to get well? And here this crippled man responded to Jesus, and he said, I have no one to help me into the pool when the waters are troubled to receive some healing in my life. And to me, that's a beautiful, powerful, and very sad picture of the workplace today where people don't have anybody to talk to about what they're struggling with on the inside. They can't talk to HR. They can't talk to their employer. They can't talk to the foreman or the boss. It might be something so deep that it could cost them their job or their position or the next advancement. And so a chaplain comes along who's non-judgmental, who's a good listener, and who is available to hear what they're going through and to be there to listen, to pray, to talk it through, and to be someone in their life where they have no one to talk to. And so when that happens in a company, one owner tells another owner, they call us, and yes, there's a service fee for hire. We have a simple charge. We basically say it's about the price of coffee in your workplace per employee, and we can provide that kind of personal care that's not only in the workplace itself, but when an employee calls the chaplain and says, hey, chaplain, could I meet with you for coffee at Starbucks? Hey, we're down at the hospital right now. My daughter slipped and fell, and they're doing surgery on a broken bone, and the chaplain is there within the hour. And so our chaplains serve 24/7, not just in that work environment, but even to the hospital, to the funeral home, to home itself, to meet the needs of people who have no one.
And I understand, I mean, the chaplains that you have in this ministry, are pretty highly skilled, highly trained too, right? I mean, give us a little sense of, you know, the men and women that are doing this kind of important work.
Yeah, that's a great question. I would say the majority of our people have had some kind of ministry experience. Many are retired pastors, missionaries. Some have served as chaplains in our armed forces. Some are currently hospital chaplains who have received that high level of training as well. Some are currently pastors of churches and have come to us and said, you know, I can't walk into ABC Electronics, or I can't walk into XYZ restaurant or that manufacturing plant that's just down the street from my church as a pastor. But as a chaplain, they have total access to share the love of God with the employees in that company as a chaplain. And many of our chaplains just simply see the tremendous need and opportunity to be able to go into the workplace with the permission of that employer to be able to share the love of God.
In the moments ahead, we're going to talk more about marketplace chaplains, how it works, and some of the stories of life change. And we'll find out, are there challenges to having faith conversations in the workplace? And there's lots of increased sensitivity, public expressions of faith. So does that is that an issue in the workplace as well? Are chaplains better suited for maybe blue collar than a white collar? We'll find out about all those things with Dr. Doug Fagerstrom, who is the executive president and CEO of Marketplace Chaplains. And he oversees nearly 3,000 chaplains serving thousands, hundreds of thousands of employees and family members all around the country and around the globe. We'll talk about the global expansion of it as well moments ahead. And you may have a question, would like to join the conversation. We welcome that at 877-933-2484, 877-93-FAITH. Maybe you're a business person, say, I think I'd like to find out more about that. Give us a call. We'll give you details. If you want to submit your question online, that's great as well. You go to myfaithradio.com and then click on the Connecting Faith show page. There's an email link right there, and we'll talk more with Doug Fagerstrom about marketplace chaplains in just a moment. It's Connecting Faith.
Yo.
Work has a place where a lot of challenges, don't get addressed, but they're certainly there and affecting productivity, whether it's troubled marriages or maybe there's chemical addiction or financial mismanagement or rebellious teens, whatever it might be. A lot of companies are discovering that it's good business to take care of such matters before they balloon into lower productivity, and that's where Marketplace Chaplains has found a niche and a real place of ministry. We're talking with the new CEO and executive president of Marketplace Chaplains today, Dr. Doug Fagerstrom. Doug has been in the ministry since the early 70s and maybe recently was senior vice president of Converge Worldwide and also served as president of Grand Rapids Theological Seminary. He's written some 14 books Doug, you pastored for a number of years. Just curious, were you, as a pastor, did you understand the workplace like you do now? And maybe what did you miss or misunderstand?
Well, that's another great question. I think as pastors, sometimes we get isolated from what's happening in the workplace, what's happening in the community. And in taking this position, of course, my eyes have been opened wide to the needs of people in the workplace. Two things probably hit me hard in this last year, especially as once a month I go on a chaplain work site and they kind of tease me about being an undercover boss. But I shadow one of our chaplains and I just go along to listen and be a part of the conversation with employees and the chaplain. And when I realize that 70% of the people have no one to talk to, I see that as reality. When we go from office to office, or we go out into a plant or into a distribution space, or even talk to a truck driver, they are so grateful that the chaplain shows up and he's someone or she's someone they can talk to about anything in their life and know that's going to be held confidentially. I also realize that this is one of the largest mission fields in the world, is this audience of people who are in the workplace who a chaplain has access to with credibility to be able to share the love of God. And when the employee asks a question, it often opens up the door to share the gospel. Every day, we record at least three people in the workplace through our chaplains that are coming to Christ. And that doesn't include their family members and extended friends and neighbors who our chaplains will visit.
That's an amazing outreach. You mentioned, you know, whether it's going into a plant or a distribution center. So is this a ministry better suited for certain types of job fields? So, you know, blue collar versus white collar, or does it make any difference?
You know, I think I can honestly, confidently say it doesn't make any difference. Because if the collar is white or the collar is blue or the shoes are shined or steel-toed, everybody has personal issues. Everybody has some level of family issue, even single adults. Everybody has financial concerns. They have health concerns. You don't have to be white-collar or blue-collar to get news from your doctor that you now have cancer. And what do you do with that? An HR and a company owner just aren't equipped to deal with that. And our chaplains are highly trained and incredibly compassionate to listen, to pray, to share, to loop back and say, how are you doing? How are things going?
Do you do the chaplains get – sorry, are there issues with HR? If a chaplain becomes sort of an advocate for an employee over company policy or those kinds of things, do you get in the middle of all that?
Yeah, we don't get in the middle of any of that. We have a very tight agreement with the employer that whatever conversation happens with an employee is 100% confidential. The only way a conversation would be shared would be if that employee shared something that would cause harm to themselves or someone else or danger to the company. And apart from that, it's highly confidential. That gives the chaplains all credibility to know they can be trusted, to know these are people who I can share anything with, and I won't get in trouble. I'm not going to lose my job. And so if they share things about the workplace, at the most, the chaplain might say, you know, that's probably something you could talk to your HR director about. Or maybe that's something you ought to share with your foreman or your supervisor. You know, I'm going to pray with you that God will give you the courage to do that. Or we're going to just pray about it, and maybe you'll have victory over that, and it won't need to be shared. So our chaplains are very skilled in how to handle those difficult employer-employee relations.
We had a listener who called and just wanted to know, what's the difference between a chaplain and a pastor? How would you distinguish those?
Well, a pastor certainly has responsibility for a particular flock of people. Even the title of pastor has a very broad range of definition, activities, actions, depending on the size of the church, the type of church it might be, denominationally or other. Basically, our chaplains are not counselors. They're not pastors. They don't get involved in any kind of sacerdotal duties. They don't baptize. They may perform a wedding. Many of our chaplains will do a funeral. But they're not connected or tied to any one church or denomination or a particular group of people. And so they're broadly available to all of the employees of the workplace where they're assigned.
I know when it first started, your founder actually did a little work in a company just to kind of get to know people. Is that something that happens once in a while as well, where the chaplain would actually maybe take a shift or be part of some element of the work?
Yeah. Now, that was out of need 33 years ago. But we want our chaplains to be just chaplains. We don't want any concern on the part of the employee that they are too highly integrated into the company itself. We want them to be seen as 100% neutral and available. Again, they're available 24/7. The day of a chaplain might only be an hour in that workplace, but they might spend 3 hours with employees outside of the workplace, depending on the initiative call of an employee who says, "Chaplain, we really need you right now."
As you mentioned, maybe just an hour in the company. But so what is it? Is there a typical day? I mean, do you, as a chaplain, have a number of companies, businesses that he's responsible, he or she is responsible for?
Well, some will be as busy as 4 hours a day, or we have a few that are full-time. Others might only be available to a company 4 hours a week or a month, depending on the location. We have some companies that are very remote. I'm thinking right now of a chicken production company, if you will, out in the middle of almost nowhere. And it's hard to find chaplains out there, but that may be the only company that chaplain will be assigned to. And so they may visit in the company, meeting the employees, developing upfront personal relationships, recognition, but then they will be busy outside of those hours. So there is no typical day. All of our chaplains have different kinds of assignments, different level of response from employees. It all depends on where they might be.
And we're going to get Doug to tell us a few stories of some life-changing impact through Marketplace Chaplains coming up after our break. But we've got just 30 seconds before the break. Doug, what's the website? If people want to find out more, what's the best way to get connected?
We could be emailed at mchapusa.com, mchapusa.com, or our website is www.mchapusa.com, and we have an 800 number, 1-800-775-7657.
All right, we'll give those out again here at the end of our conversation, but coming back in a moment, I'll talk more with Dr. Doug Fagerstrom, who is recently appointed Executive President and CEO of Marketplace Chaplains. It's the original leading workplace chaplaincy organization, doing great work. And we're going to find out a little bit more how that work has grown even into overseas and see if that's any different than issues in our country as well. You can join the conversation if you have a question or a comment. It's 877-93-FAITH. It's 877-933-2484. The statistics are true that 70% of the U.S. workforce have no connection to a caring church. Well, then there's an opportunity to share the light of Christ and the love of Christ in the workplace. It's a very needy area and a mission field that Dr. Doug Fagerstrom is leading a number of gifted, trained, and caring, committed chaplains serving over 600,000 employees and family members across the United States in the work called Marketplace Chaplains. And you can find out more about them. MChapUSA.com is a good website. Doug Fagerstrom has been in ministry. He's been a pastor. He has also been a president of Grand Rapids Theological Seminary. He served as the vice president of Converge Worldwide, mission denominational organization, and recently appointed CEO of Marketplace Chaplains. Doug, I want to just have you share a few stories or two, if you can, about some of the lives that have been changed, because I know when it's looking at some of the information, there's sometimes where people come to work, it's like, I don't want to be I'm not interested in religious things. I don't want to talk about spiritual things. So how do you maybe bridge those gaps and make some connections?
Well, our chaplains every day are going into the workplace to simply be present, to be available. They walk around the offices, introducing themselves, saying hello, asking employees how they're doing. As I follow and shadow chaplains at least once a month, I'll watch how the chaplain will walk by a particular cubicle or by a particular machine operator, and I say, why didn't we stop and talk to him? He said, for 3 years he ignores me, or for the last 2 months I can't get her to say hello. And so we go on. And then we'll go to the next spot, and there's a warm welcome and a warm embrace. And so as our chaplains are continually present in front of employees, relationships are built. And we're highly relational in our approach. And we care and we love people. It's our first core value is people with exceptional care. I remember the very first time I went on a chaplain call was about a year and a half ago. And we were in a manufacturing plant where they melt aluminum to make Romex wire. And it was about 115 degrees in this plant. And I was walking with a chaplain down an aisle of that workplace. And a high-load driver drove by rather quickly. And he saw the chaplain out of the corner of his eye, and he screeched to a halt, jumped off his high-load, ran over the chaplain. And this was a big guy, and he picked the chaplain up about 4 inches off the ground, gave him a big bear hug, and he looked at the chaplain, and he said, "Chaplain, thanks so much." And the chaplain said, "For what?" He said, "You saved my marriage." He says, "I did. What did I do?" And he said, "Well, don't you remember what you told me 2 weeks ago?" He said, "No, I don't. What did I say?" And the man said, "You told me to go home and be nice to my wife." And chaplain, it works. And my marriage has never been better. And I heard that story almost verbatim, like I just shared it now. And I went away thinking, here's a man who's been married and has never, ever heard his life. Be nice to your wife. Be nice to people. It works. And then the chaplain said to this same man, he said, "Is there anything else I can do for you? Is there anything else I can pray for you?" He said, "Well, my mom's having surgery next Tuesday." And the chaplain took out a little notebook and started writing down. And he said, "Well, where is it?" And the man said, "Don't worry about it. We're in Dallas. She's up there in Cincinnati." He says, "No, no, no. What hospital?" The man said, "What's her name?" He shared that. "When is the surgery?" He shared that. And on that following Tuesday, we had one of our chaplains in Cincinnati visit with his mom before surgery, pray with her, and encourage her. And so our chaplains will go from a hot manufacturing plant to a hospital to anywhere we are needed to share God's love. And ultimately, people are coming to Christ every day because of that kind of love and care.
And as you said, three a day, making a life change. What a powerful impact that is. Clearly, you could do more if you had more men and women that were serving, I'm sure. Talk about what kinds of people are you looking for to really take on this ministry?
Well, Neil, you'd make a great chaplain. You know how to listen. You care about people. We would love to have you as a part of our team. However, in churches in Minneapolis and St. Paul, I know we have people who can listen, who care about people, who can articulate their faith, who know the Bible. They don't have to have a seminary degree, but are willing and available. We need people who can be available for the most part 24/7. So if they're tied up in another kind of a job, it probably won't work out. But we need available, faithful, godly, caring, compassionate men and women who just see the opportunity and need to share God's love in the workplace. And it's a clarion call to me that if we don't do that, who will? And God has given us an unusual opportunity through this ministry, through the employer's permission, to have access and entry into workplaces all over the United States and in a couple of other countries, especially in Canada, where we're growing like crazy right now, unusual opportunities that are before us.
Well, it did make me wonder, are there issues with, you know, we are increasingly sensitive, it seems, to any sort of expressions of faith outside of personal worship time. So is the future your ministry? Do you foresee maybe more restrictions?
Well, the restriction is usually by the employer. And our chaplains and the employer are protected by our First Amendment rights. And we're very careful not to proselytize. We're not promoting a particular religion or brand of theology. We're simply caring people who listen and share God's love. There's nothing that precludes or prevents us from doing that. We do not propagate a particular message. Often we don't even take the initiative in a spiritual conversation. That happens when the employee opens the door and asks a question about faith. And that happens in just a variety of different ways. And so we're highly protected. In 33 years, there has not been a lawsuit against us because a chaplain overstepped their bounds in sharing God's love in the workplace. And so it's a wonderful opportunity. I know employers always ask the question about, are we going to be sued or can we really legally do this? And the answer is always absolutely. So it's up to the employer, and it depends on their level of interest in allowing chaplains into their workspace.
And I guess it probably goes without saying, but these are not just all companies owned by or led by believers, right? It's any variety of people that just recognize that there's a human element to their employees.
Yeah, exactly. We have company owners of all levels of faith and belief, but the one thing they all have in common, and I think you stated it, is they all care about their employees, and they want the best for their employees. And they know HR sometimes falls short in taking care of some of those deep inner needs that do affect an employee in the workplace.
This would be, it seems like, the sort of thing where churches could commission and support the chaplains, maybe in some sort of public way. What would you recommend? You've been a pastor and a church leader. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, first of all, our chaplains recommend about 4,000 employees every year to local churches who have never been a part of a church before. And we have some wonderful stories of employees who never shadowed the door of a church, who came to faith in Christ. Their families became believers, and it was in short order that they were in a church, worshiping, involved, engaged, learning, growing in their faith. But I think it'd be wonderful if churches would have a commissioning service for chaplains, not just our chaplains, but for any chaplain. If they have congregants who are hospital chaplains or military chaplains, I think it's terrific to have a commissioning service and asking God for his spiritual anointing on their lives and ministries, and in that way partnering with them, almost sending them into the workplace to share the love of God. In the same token, if there are people sitting in the pews and they want to be a chaplain with us, we encourage them to contact us at the website and the phone number we gave, we will begin the process. And who knows what opportunity God will provide for them.
You can find out more at mchapusa.com, mchap.usa.com for, sorry, mchapusa.com. Let me get that right.
That's right.
Doug Fagerstrom is the CEO of Marketplace Chaplains. And Doug just maybe reminds me, too, here before we wrap up that, you know, those that most of us spend our waking hours at work. So if we're still working, we're in a place where we're surrounded by people who, you know, maybe we're the only, you know, the only Jesus that they're going to see. Any word of challenge for us and how we can, you know, even if there's not an official chaplain there, how we might be better representing Christ?
You know, number one, listen, ask questions, build relationships, have a meal, have a cup of coffee, invite them over to your home. Ask them what they're doing this weekend. If they're saying, well, we're going to our son's ball game, say, you know, I'd love to see your son play ball. May we attend the game? Do we need tickets? Get involved in their lives. Listen, love on them, share with them, and be involved in any kind of crisis. If they have a loved one in the hospital, send flowers, send a card, offer to show up and visit, and just be present, be the presence of Jesus in people's lives. And before you know it, they're going to see Christ in you, and they're going to want to know the hope that is in you. Then you get to give an answer.
Good word, good challenge today from Dr. Doug Fagerstrom, recently appointed executive president and CEO of Marketplace Chaplains. And you can find out, again, at mchapusa.com. Doug, blessings to you. Good to connect with you. Thanks for the good work you're doing.
Thanks, Neil. This has been a delight.
Listening to Connecting Faith, coming up in a moment, we'll talk a little bit about politics and more with Leith Anderson.
Maybe you're that guy with a suit and tie. Maybe your shirt says your name. You may be hooking up mergers, cooking up burgers. But at the end of the day, little stuff, big stuff, in between stuff, God sees it all the same. And while I may not, doesn't matter at all. Let me remind you, it all matters just as long as you do everything you do to the glory of the one who made you. Cause he made you to do every little thing that you do to bring a smile to his face. Tell the story of grace with every move that you make. In the Congo, or maybe you're working at the office, singing along with the radio. Maybe you're dining at a five star, or feeding orphans in the unmarked. Anywhere and everywhere that you are, whatever you do, it all matters. So do what you do, don't ever forget to do everything you do to the glory of the one who made you.
Leith Anderson in studio again. I also appreciate the opportunity to connect with Leith. Leith is the president of the National Association of Evangelicals, and for 35 years he was pastor of Wooddale Church in Eden Prairie, Minnesota, and graduated both Denver Seminary and Fuller Seminary, and has authored more than 15 books. One that we'll reference again today is Faith in the Voting Booth, written by Leith and Galen Carey. But, Leith, let's talk election, because it is coming up very soon, and according to estimates, they said 20 to 30 million evangelicals didn't vote in the last election. I'm wondering your thoughts on that. Is that as much because we have a view that, you know, this world is not our home? Is that really what kind of motivates our maybe lack of involvement, or maybe is that statistic significant in terms of the greater population?
I don't think it's a particularly significant statistic. Okay. The reality is most Americans didn't vote in the last election, and most Americans aren't going to vote in this election. And I know there are people who say it's for a theological reason, and I'm sure they are there. I don't ever remember having a conversation once with an evangelical who said, I didn't vote or I'm not going to vote for theological reasons. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm sure they're there, but that's not my experience. And it kind of doesn't – you know, I know there's this idea that some have that, you know, this earth and heaven will pass away and there'll be a new heaven and a new earth and – we shouldn't be engaged in things now. But I want to say to them, okay, you're going to die someday. Does that mean you're not going to eat? You're not going to exercise? If you have a physical ailment, does that mean you're not going to go to the doctor because you're going to die anyway? Of course not. We're stewards of what God has given to us for here and now. And that includes voting and going to the doctor and eating and exercising.
But, you know, theology does affect, I guess, how we live, though, doesn't it? Because we do think of, you know, try and balance that out between, you know, this world's not our home with be salt and light. I mean, we do need to find our way through this kind of culture.
Well, indeed. And we could have a long theological discussion. But the point is that theologically, we are citizens of two different kingdoms, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of earth here and now. And Jesus told us to pray, that we should pray for God's will to be done on earth in this kingdom as it is in heaven in the kingdom of heaven. And remember that Jesus said, you render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's and to God the things that are God's. And rendering unto Caesar is responsibility in our civil society. And I think that includes voting. So should we vote? Yeah, absolutely.
Just curious, when you were pastoring, did you, the Sunday before the election, did you remind people, or was that generally not part of the flow of the service? Or was that something, don't forget to vote this week?
Well, I reminded people, usually because there were several people that were telling me I needed to remind people.
And okay, sure.
It's, you know, to be truthful, it's a little bit in our society, at least as I pastor, of saying, now remember, the sun is going to rise tomorrow, so you need to get up tomorrow morning when the sun rises. Everybody knows that there's going to be an election. Everybody knows that they should vote if they're eligible to vote. So my reminding them... Yeah, honestly, I did it to kind of keep people from nagging me about
okay.
it.
Leif, I got a question for you. Every church, I think, it may be fair to say, or at least most churches, have at least one person that's very politically active, very into it, and they want to make that known and want to sway your opinion. I know I've encountered that in a church, and just wondering, what's your opinion? How do you deal with people like that, that are ultra passionate about politics?
Well, I'm grateful that they're passionate, and I'm grateful that they're engaged. I can tell you my personal story, and that is that as a pastor, I wanted to reach people of a lot of political persuasions and made that clear not just at election time or other election times. And we used to actually do something that some may find curious, and that is that if people would come and put political flyers on the windshield under the windshield wipers of cars, we had people ready to go out and pick them up because we didn't want that to be primarily what church was about. We actually had an incident once where we went out and picked them up, and the people that were out there doing it said, you know, we're going to call the police. Well, we said, kind of said, go ahead and call the police. It's private property. And they said, well, you don't care about politics. The interesting part was that the flyer that they were putting on the windshields, every candidate that was on that sheet was in the church building at a church service at that time. So our people were engaged, but that doesn't mean that as a church, we're going to be approving people coming in and handing out literature.
Good point. You know, one of the chapters in your book, Faith in the Voting Booth, talks about principles and priorities. I'm thinking, obviously, I think probably most of us have made up our minds. Maybe people have already voted early. But talk a little bit about principles and priorities and maybe just review those a bit.
Well, I encourage people to start with the Bible and find out what the Bible says about poverty. 2,000 biblical references about immigration, 92 times in the Bible. So find out what the Bible says, not what your news program says. So start at the right place. And then make a list. Just take a piece of paper and write down all the things that you think are important. That's the easy part. Then put them in order on which one's the most important. Make the top 10. And then choose to vote for candidates. And we're not just talking about presidential candidates. We're talking about the down ballot as well. choose the candidates that will best reflect the values on your top 10 list. The reality is very few of us will find someone who absolutely matches up to our list of 10. So just be ready up front that you're going to get some of them but not others, and that's why prioritization is really important. Mm.
I like your point about be informed, you know, watch the news and see what the issues are. Sometimes that can be easy to get hooked into, though, and you can watch maybe a little too much of the news and become kind of obsessed with it. What's your recommendation for having a balance on being informed versus being obsessed?
Yeah, well, you think it's possible for people to listen to the news too much? You know, today was actually watching on television, and some news people and comedians were grieving how soon the election is going to be, because what are they going to talk about after that?
Sure, sure.
And what we've got here is not – I mean, news is always new. However, what's really different is that we have cable news programs and bloggers and talk radio and apps on our phones that are going 24 hours a day. So they need to fill this up in order to make money. And I would say to people, if you're addicted to this – and people are addicted to this – what you ought to do is have a discipline that you need to read at least some of the Bible and pray before you listen to the current news any day. And then try this. You know, the Bible teaches about fasting. Try fasting, maybe for a day, maybe for a minute. Just try fasting and don't do the news stuff. I remember one time in a sermon, I didn't expect the reaction. I suggested that people give up Facebook for Lent. There was this audible groan that came from the congregation. You know, they're willing to give up meat. They're willing to give up coffee, but not Facebook. Yeah. But maybe fasting is giving up something that we would normally do so that we can center ourselves, first of all, on God.
Mm. Good word. All right, you mentioned about reading the Bible and pray. So when you pray for our nation and our leaders, how do you pray? And what would be maybe just a good word for us to end on today? How do we pray for our leaders?
I can tell you how I pray for our leaders. I pray for God's blessing on our leaders, even leaders with whom I may disagree. I pray that God will bless them, and I pray that they will know and be aware that the blessing comes from God, with the hope and the prayer and the expectation that God's blessing will turn them to God in a way that otherwise they might not.
Good word today from Leith Anderson. As always, enjoy our times together. Leith Anderson is the president of the National Association of Evangelicals, longtime pastor, and a book that we referenced today, and you can still pick up a copy of it and find some great practical wisdom for voting well. It's called Faith in the Voting Booth. We've got a couple minutes left in the show, and love Leith's recommendation. Read at least some of the Bible and pray before getting into the news, so we'll heed that advice. Coming up, Making Your Life Count, we're going to hear a story of Jennifer Rothschild and about how we can have an impact in our world, whether it's at work or in the neighborhood.
Do you ever feel insignificant or overlooked? We all do sometimes, right? Hi, I'm Steve Douglas, and Jennifer Rothschild, who's blind, has felt this way many times.
I think we all feel it for different reasons. You know, maybe it's a woman who tries to share her ideas in her workplace and somebody else talks over her and acts as if she didn't even speak. Or maybe it's a guy who loses his job because a younger man is hired instead and he can feel undervalued, overlooked. And when we feel that way, we feel invisible.
And no matter why you might feel overlooked, there is hope when you identify your value in Jesus Christ.
You may feel invisible, but who you are and how you feel are not the same thing. And so when we begin to align our heart with the truth of who God says we are, then we will never feel invisible.
Would you like to learn more about walking with God and about His love for you? Why don't you go to makingyourlifecount.com and explore the many available resources there?
Hey, I hope that you go to our website as well, myfaithradio.com. We mentioned that we've got a Duck Commander Faith and Family Bible we're giving away. That's just something we're doing here on Connecting Faith. So if you're a Connecting Faith listener, you can go to the Connecting Faith show page at myfaithradio.com, and you can sign up. Just go to the banner. There's a registration on this side of the page there, and you can just register. We'll do a drawing here at the end of the week. We also are actually giving away a Charles Stanley Life Principles study Bible as well. You find that on the main page. So you could be signing up for Bibles this week.
Here you go.
Get
get your Christmas shopping done
sure,
early.
Sure. Well, and then actually, as Leith said, read the Bible
yes.
and pray before you actually pay attention to the news. But thank you for paying attention to Connecting Faith. If you missed part of the show, you can always hear. Again, we post the interviews online, myfaithradio.com. Click on Connecting Faith. Tomorrow, we're going to hear from Pastor Joseph Francis. He's pastor of a church in Baghdad. An amazing story. You want to listen to it tomorrow.